The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. At the far end of town, where the grickle grass grows, and the wind smells slow and sour when it blows, and no birds ever sing, excepting old crows, is the street of the Lifted Lorax. And deep in the grickle grass, some people say, if you look deep enough, you can still see today, where the Lorax once stood, just as long as it could, before somebody lifted the Lorax away. What was the Lorax? And why was it there? And why was it lifted and taken somewhere from the far end of town where the grickle grass grows? And the old onceler still lives here. Ask him. He knows. You won't see the onceler. Don't knock at his door. He stays in his lurmkin on top of his store. He stays in his lurmkin cold under the floor, where he makes his own clothes out of miff muffered muff. And on special dark nights in August, he peeks out of his shutters. And sometimes he speaks and tells how the Lorax was lifted away. He'll tell you, perhaps, if you're willing to pay. On the end of a rope, he lets down a tin pail, and you have to toss in 15 cents and a nail and the shell of a great-great-great-grandfather snail. Then he pulls up the pail, makes a most careful count to see if you've paid him the proper amount. Then he hides what you've paid him away in his snuff, his secret strange hole of his gravelous glove. Then he grunts, I will call you by whisper my phone, for the secrets I tell are for your ears alone. Slept down slaps the whisper my phone to your ear, and the old onceler whispers are not very clear. Once they have to come down through a snaggerly hose, and he sounds as if he had smallish bees up his nose. Now I'll tell you, he says, with his teeth sounding gray, how the Lorax got lifted and taken away. It all started way back, such a long, long time back, way back in the days when the grass was still green and the pond was still wet and the clouds were still clean, and the song of the Swami swans rang out in space. One morning I came to this glorious place, and I first saw the trees, the truffalo trees, the bright-colored tufts of the truffalo trees. Mile after mile of fresh morning breeze, and under the trees I saw brown barolutes frisking in their barolute suits as they played in the shade of neat truffalo fruits. From the riparous pond came the comfortable sounds of the humming fish humming while splashing around. But those trees, those trees, those truffalo trees, all my life I'd been searching for trees such as these. The touch of their tufts was much softer than silk, and they had the sweet smell of fresh butterfly milk. I felt a great leaping of joy in my heart. I knew just what I'd do. I'd unload my cart. In no time at all, I had built a small shop. Then I chopped down a truffalo tree in one chop. And with great skillful skill, and with great speedy speed, I took the soft tuft, and I knitted a thneed. The instant I'd finished, I heard a gazump. I looked. I saw something pop from the stump of the tree I'd chopped down. It was sort of a man. Describe him. That's hard. I don't know if I can. He was shortish, and oldish, and brownish, and mossy. And he spoke with a voice that was sharp and bossy. Mister, he said, with a sawdusty sneeze, I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs. He was very upset as he shouted and puffed. What's that thing you've made with the out of the truffula tuft? Look, Lorax, I said, there's no cause for alarm. I chopped just one tree. I am doing no harm. I'm being quite useful. This thing is a thneed. A thneed's a fine something that all people need. It's a shirt, it's a sock, it's a glove, it's a hat. But it has other uses. Yes, far beyond that. You can use it for carpets, for pillows, for sheets, or curtains, or covers, or bicycle sneaks. The Lorax said, sir, you are crazy with greed. There's no one on earth who would buy that fool thneed. But the very next instant, I proved he was wrong. For just at that minute, a chap came along, and he thought that the thneed that I knitted was great. He happily bought one for $3.98. I laughed at the Lorax, you poor stupid guy. You never can tell what someone will buy. I repeated. I repeat, cried the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I'm busy, I told him. Shut up if you please. I rushed across the room and in no time at all built a radio phone. I put in a quick call. I called for my brothers and uncles and aunts and I said, listen here, here's a wonderful chance for the whole Wensler family to get mighty rich. Get over here fast, take the road to the north niche, turn at west Waukehee, sharp south at south stitch, and in no time at all. In the factory I'd built, the whole Wensler family was working full tilt. We were all knitting needs as busy as bees to the sound of the chopping of truffula trees. Then, oh baby, oh, how my business did grow. Now chopping one tree at a time was too slow, so I quickly invented the super axe hacker, which whacked off four truffula trees in one smacker. We were all making needs four times as fast as before, and the Lorax, he didn't show up anymore. But the next week, he knocked at my new office door. He snapped, I'm the Lorax who speaks for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please, but I'm also in charge of the brown Bareloots, who played in the shade of the Bareloot suits and happily lived eating truffula fruits. Now, thanks to your hacking trees to the ground, there's not enough truffula fruit to go round, and my poor Bareloots are getting all crummies because they have gas and no food in their tummies. They loved living here, but I can't let them stay. They'll have to find food, and I hope that they may. Good luck, boys, he cried, and he sent them away. I, the Wensler, felt sad as I watched them all go. But business is business, and business must grow, regardless of crummies and tummies, you know. I meant no harm, I most truly did not. But I had to grow bigger, so bigger I got. I biggered my factory, I biggered my roads, I biggered my wagons, I biggered my loads of needs I shipped out. I was shipping them forth to the south, to the east, to the west, to the north. I went right on biggering, selling more needs, and I was biggering my money, which everyone needs. Then again he came back. I was fixing some pipes when that old nuisance Lorax came back with more gripes. I am the Lorax, he said. He coughed and he whiffed. He sneezed and he sniffed. He snarled, he sniffed. Wensler, he cried in a croakerous cough. Wensler, you're making smutch smogly a smog. And my poor swami swans, why, they can't sing a note. No one can sing who has smog in his throat. And so, said the Lorax, please pardon my cough. They cannot live here, so I'm sending them off. Where will they go? I don't hopefully know. They may have to fly for a month or a year to escape the smog you've smogged up around here. What's more, snapped the Lorax, his dander was off, let me say a few words about gluppity-glup. Your machine clugs on in the night without stopping, making gluppity-glup and schluppity-schlup. And what do you do with this leftover goo? I'll show you. You dirty, your old Wensler man, you. You're glupping the pond where the humming fish hummed. No more can they hum, for their gills are all gummed. So I'm sending them off. Oh, their future is dreary. They walk on their fins and get woefully weary, in search of some water that isn't so smeary. And then I got mad. I got terribly mad. I yelled at the Lorax, now listen here, Dad. All you do is yap, yap, say bad, bad, bad. Well, I have my rights, sir, and I'm telling you I intend to do just what I do. And for your information, you Lorax, I'm figuring and biggering and biggering and biggering and biggering, turning more truffula trees into thneeds, which everyone, everyone, everyone needs. And on that very moment, we heard a loud thwack. From outside in the fields came a sickening smack of an axe on a tree. Then we heard the tree fall, the very last truffula tree of them all. No more trees, no more needs, no more work to be done. So in no time, my uncles and aunts, everyone, all waved my goodbye. They jumped into cars and drove away under the smog-smeared stars. Now all that was left beneath the bad-smelling sky was my big empty factory, the Lorax, and I. The Lorax said nothing, just gave me a glance. Just gave me a very sad, sad backwards glance as he lifted himself by the seat of his pants. And I'll never forget the grim look on his face when he hoisted himself and took leave of this place, through a hole in the smog without leaving a trace, and all the Lorax left here in this mess was a small pile of rocks with one word, unless. Whatever that meant, well, I just couldn't guess. That was long, long ago, but each day since that day, I've sat here and worried away. Through the years, while my buildings have fallen apart. I've worried about it with all of my heart. But now, says the Onceler, now that you're here, the word of the Lorax seems perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. So catch, calls the Onceler. He lets something fall. It's a truffula seed. It's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last of the truffula seeds, and truffula trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new truffula. Treat it with care. Give it clean water. Feed it clean air. Grow a forest, protect it from axes that hack, and the Lorax and all his friends may come back.